Ways and Means, and I am Susan Morgan, having given the honor of chairing this committee. And what I want to do is thank the members that are here for their punctuality, and thank everyone for agreeing to serve on this committee. The punctuality is going to be one of the things that is, this is five meter.
Yeah, this is five meter.
One of the things that's going to be important to the committee, and later on today you'll get a schedule of how we've actually scheduled the agencies to appear over the next few months. And you'll notice on that schedule that we have put meetings Monday through Thursday, but we've been trying to keep Friday afternoons open, knowing that for rural members and even urban members that need to buck that weekend traffic, having that time to deal with that would be real beneficial. It becomes critical to keep the schedule on the timeline that it's organized on, and so being able to start the meetings on time becomes a big part of that. The other thing that I have been asked to mention by the co-chairs is that if you have budget notes or if you are interested in introducing amendments, that those be given to me as chair, and then I will convey those to the co-chairs. If you have requests for certain agencies in material that you'd like to have them present, please convey that to me, and we'll be glad to convey that to the agencies. We'll be doing public testimony during the course of our hearings, and some of the issues that we'll be dealing with during the session will be quite controversial, and I expect that we will be getting some turnouts for some of the issues that we'll be discussing. We'll be giving preference to people that come from long distances away, and we'll be publicizing well in advance when the opportunities will be for public testimony, and we do encourage people to come and talk to us about what we are working on affects them. The communication is the key here, and I should warn you right off the bat that one thing that I hate is surprises. So if you have any issues that you want to discuss or things that you are interested in just talking about, please feel absolutely free and open to come and talk to me. The goal for me personally here is to kind of find that balance between the need for the services of the agencies whose budgets we're going to be working with and the fiscal challenges that we find ourselves facing this session. And I think that we're going to have a lot of real interesting discussions because we have some urban points of view as well as some rural points of view and a lot of programs that cut across the whole landscape in those terms. It is my very strong wish that we have respectful discussions with each other, but that we're also open and honest with each other as we discuss how these different proposals and different agencies impact the areas of the state that we represent and the state in general. Does anyone have any questions or comments that they want to make at this time? Staying right on schedule then. We have an agenda today that is going to give the members of the committee some information about how we're going to proceed process-wise and also what the first agency budget is that we're going to hear. So at this point, I will turn it over to our esteemed and experienced committee staff person, Ken Rocco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am experienced. I don't know about the other part of that.
Does that mean you're old?
Yes, I am. I'm very old.
You're a long time.
I'm old. Thank you. What we wanted to do today is just give you a brief orientation to the subcommittee process and go over a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about hasn't been talked about in the full Ways and Means over the last week and a half. So if you've attended that, you may be getting the same story that you heard there. I've handed out, first of all, I've handed out the series of slides that were presented to that committee in the overview. And just for your information, if you have any, if you weren't at the presentation of those and you have any questions, you can get back to me later and we can go over those. What I wanted to do is describe the subcommittee process to you briefly, and then we have Lisa Pearson and Linda Gilbert here from the Budget and Management Division of the Department of Administrative Services. They're affectionately known as the Salmon Sisters. then I would like to just give you a very brief review of the budget kinds of materials that we use in this process, and that's what this blue binder in front of you, we'll use that later today. Underneath today's agenda, you'll find a memo from me that I'm going to go over with you briefly, and then a series of attachments. The first is a listing of staff that you'll see in this subcommittee. On the one side of that is budget contact staff by department and by agency, the LFO analyst with a phone number, and the DAS BAM analyst with a phone number. The committee's assistant, Ruthie, back here can help you if you have any needs about materials that you want, extra kind of information. And our scheduler is Ryan Whalen, who sits in the LFO office right behind the front window. On the other side of this is a list of fiscal impact contacts. In our office, we do fiscal impacts on substantive bills. So you may run into a bill that has in the natural resource area, and this list would provide you who to contact in our office to find out about a fiscal impact on a bill. My role here is I schedule this committee and coordinate the activities in it, but when a budget that somebody else is responsible for, they will be the staff on that particular budget. The next sheet in the packet I've given you is a list of all the agency budget bills and the fee bills assigned to the Natural Resource Committee at this time. And that looks like this. This also identifies the analysts assigned to it. You may see two fee bills on there, House Bill 5001, which is a Department of Ag fee bill, and Senate Bill 5516, which is a Department of Environmental Quality fee bill. These are fee bills based on the requirements of Senate Bill 333 that was passed several sessions ago. These are not new fees, but these are fees that were administratively increased since the end of last session, and so they require legislative approval ratification during this session in order to remain in effect. And we'll get into more detail on that when we see one of those bills come forward.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, can I ask a question about this? Thank you. The fees were increased after the last legislative session, and there was no legislative directive for that fee increase to take place?
These are, Madam Chair, Representative Bowman, these are generally fees that the agency has authority to increase administratively.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, there was implicit legislative approval from last session to mm-hmm. go ahead and approve those. But because of the requirements of Senate Bill 333, despite that implicit approval, they have to get explicit approval now through a ratification process.
Thank you. Representative Nolan.
Representative Nolan. Madam Chair, in responding to Representative Bowman, Ken has answered my question.
Oh, good.
Next handout is the tentative schedule that Chair Morgan has mentioned to you, which looks like this. These are extremely tentative, but we try to give agencies and members an idea of when in the process they're likely to be brought before the subcommittee for presentation. So this schedule is subject to change at any time. And as Chair Morgan has mentioned, we're trying to leave Fridays open, and that depends on the efficiency of the committee. In some cases, the agencies, you may have additional questions and want them to come back, and so we may need to expand into Fridays. But if that's not the case, we will just leave Fridays empty and not have a meeting. And if for some chance you get through with an agency in 2 or 3 days, then you can just have the rest of the week off. So we're trying to build in performance measures to the subcommittee.
I see the carrot.
I'd like to point out that there are other bills that the co-chairs can refer to the subcommittee. These bills, typically we get these later in the session as some of the budget bills are out. Usually Ways and Means will deal with the budget-related language in these bills. And substantive changes are frowned upon, but can be done with the concurrence of the chair from the substantive committee where the bill came from. Generally, though, Ways and Means is dealing with the fiscal impact of the bill, adding appropriation or expenditure limitation language, or dealing with that aspect of the bill, not substantive changes to it.
Excuse me. By substantive, you mean policy changes?
Yes. Representative.
But we can make substantial fiscal changes.
You can make substantial fiscal changes as you like. The agenda process that we will follow is we will, every day when you come, you'll get an agenda like this that you will show you what's going to happen during today's meeting. We also try to give you an advance indication of the next week, and that's this attachment, which shows you for, and this is a live example because this is what you will be doing next week. Monday will be an informational meeting with the Governor's Natural Resource Office, and then on Tuesday we'll begin reviewing the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries budget bill, which is House Bill 5018.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. On the House floor today, we had schedules for this committee, and it said there were no meetings until Thursday next week.
Would you care to comment, Mr. Webb?
Madam Chair, Representative Bowman, that's a surprise to me. We haven't actually scheduled these yet because we are working under 24-hour notice. But as soon as this meeting's over, these meetings will be scheduled.
Oh, I wonder why. Who provided that? Because I just brought it back and gave it to my staff and said, "Forget what I told you yesterday. We're not meeting until Thursday," because that's what I got on the floor this morning. So.
Yeah, I saw that, but I knew that the 24-hour notice applied.
Now you can tell them today.
Yeah, well, now I can go back and say, forget what I told you an hour ago.
Yeah.
Unscheduled.
It's been changed again, yes. Okay. Thank you.
As far as attendance goes, if you cannot make a meeting, we would appreciate it if you would contact our scheduler in the LFO's main office. Ryan Whalen is his name, and he is, and I put the phone number in the memo. It's the extension is 61830, and this will not always be important, but once we get into a situation of trying to pass bills out, there's a quorum requirement that's needed, and somebody will be calling to find out if you're on your way or not. The next thing I wanted to talk about were committee rules, and there's an attachment that shows the committee rules. These do not have to be adopted by the subcommittee because they were adopted last week by the full Ways and Means Committee. Several of these rules, however, apply to subcommittee process, and I think they need to be reviewed. Rule number 6 is the rule that requires 24-hour notice for bills and subjects to be addressed. And we do try to get, once we get on a more regular schedule, we try to provide notice farther in advance than just 24 hours. So we will post all of next week's meetings right after this meeting occurs. Rule number 10 establishes the quorum and voting rules. A quorum for reporting legislation to the full committee is a majority of appointed House members and a majority of appointed Senate members. So for this committee, that means that four House members and two Senate members must be present to take action on the bill. So like today, that does not require a quorum to do an informational meeting or a public hearing, because otherwise we wouldn't have a quorum because we have no senators here.
Excuse me, we only have two Senate members.
That's
so
correct.
They both have to be here to vote?
Yes.
Have to vote the same way.
Rule number 10, with respect to Representative Hansen's observation, rule number 10 also states that a majority of the members present, once you have a quorum, the majority of the members present from each chamber, from the House and from the Senate separately, must vote in favor in order to pass the bill out. So in this case, that means if you have the bare quorum of four House members and two Senate members, you need three House affirmative votes and two Senate affirmative votes. Now, the caveat to that is in Rule 5, there's always a backdoor. And in Rule 5, it states that the House co-chair is a voting member of every subcommittee. And the Senate co-chair is also a voting member of every subcommittee on their respective chambers. So when in attendance, the House co-chair or the Senate co-chair can vote. Now, this doesn't change the quorum requirements. So if the House, but if the House chair is here, the House chair can help attain a quorum, but it doesn't mean you have to have more than that four number of four House members present. But if the House chair is or Senate chair is here, then their vote counts, and you still have to have a majority of those present, including that chair, the co-chair. Now, if that's clear.
Any questions on that point? Good job.
Okay. Rule number 8 states that there are no minority reports in Ways and Means, and that doesn't mean you can't disagree or vote against something, but there are no minority reports that go to the floor. Rule number 11 states that when a bill is assigned to the subcommittee, it must be reported back. You cannot table a bill or you cannot hold on to it. You have to send it back. You can send it back without recommendation. You can there's various ways of getting it back, but you cannot hold on to it. And Rule 13, which Chair Morgan has talked a little bit about, is regarding budget notes. Budget notes can be included in the budget report of the for an agency, but they have to be directly related to the execution of the budget. They cannot simply address administrative direction or some kind of a policy issue. And all budget notes need to be approved by the co-chairs before they're brought for a vote to the subcommittee.
It may perhaps be a good distinction to make here that budget notes or proposals for budget notes can be discussed in the committee prior to being submitted to the co-chairs for their approval.
Okay, and then finally, I'd just like to go over the actual hearings process. We have this a new format that we're trying this time, and it's outlined on this attachment. Basically, what will happen is for each agency that comes forward, you will receive a binder, a budget binder, which is, in this, in geology's case, is this blue binder. These binders can be, you can take them with you or you can leave them here. If you leave them here, the next time you deal with that agency, they will be placed out on the table, and any materials that were handed out will be included in the binder. And if you can take them with you, though, if you want to look at them at your leisure, we just would ask you to bring them back with you, because there's only going to be one per member. We may have one or two spares around, but if you can remember to bring them, if you take them, it would be helpful. And after, later today, we'll go through one of these to show you where to find things in it. This presentation outline is basically a five-step kind of a process. On the first day, legislative fiscal staff will provide an agency orientation and background, basically as an introduction to the agency, very high level, but just let you know the general background of the agency, its the size of its budget, and any other kinds of things that have happened since it was before Ways and Means in the last session. Then the agency will give you sort of a high level overview of what the agency's purpose is, how it delivers its services, what kinds of programs it has. Budget and management staff will then give you a overview of the governor's recommended budget for the agency, and that's really the first time you'll hear any details about the recommended budget. Following that, the agency then will go into greater detail about its programs, how it intends to implement the governor's recommended budget, and go into basically the important parts of the proposed budget. They'll review, and that will take the most time of any of these steps. And then finally, we would go into a work session, and LFO would lead that process with the assistance of the budget and management staff to respond to questions. And when that happens, there'll be a review of the major issues, a listing of the decisions that the subcommittee would need to make, recommendations from the Legislative Fiscal Office on how to address concerns with the budget, and any other kinds of directions from the co-chairs or the chair about budget enhancements, budget reductions, changes in the budget, that kind of information. Generally, that is done with two pieces of information. One would be a memo from the fiscal office staff, and then a series of spreadsheets that I'll show you in a few minutes. Rule 7 states that public testimony is welcome at subcommittee hearings. And as Chair Morgan has indicated, we will announce that early for the Department of Geology. There will be time set aside next Wednesday if any member of the public would wish to testify in the agency's budget. The final output of the ways of the subcommittee process is the budget bill and the budget report. And the budget bill, once it's passed out of here, the chair will have to assign carriers for the budget bill. And there's a carrier for full committee, and there's a carrier for the House floor, and one for the Senate floor. And legislative fiscal staff provides assistance to the carriers, so you won't be on your own. Since a member of the full committee has to carry the bill to full committee, that means that out of this committee, only Representatives Morgan and Hayden or Senators Duke or Ferrioli can carry bills to the full committee.
Or Hanson.
Are you? Or Representative Hanson. But on the floor, it's up to the chair. Any member of the committee can carry the bill on the floor. Are there any questions?
shall we proceed to the next part of the agenda then, and ask Lisa and Linda, the Salmon Sisters, to come forward.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services, and this is my Salmon Sister, Linda Gilbert. We're just briefly going to go over what BAM does. Excuse me, budget management. First thing that we do is review agency request budgets. Each agency has to submit a request budget by a certain deadline, and we go through those intimately. We also have an automated budget information system group within our organization, and those folks work on the technical side of whether or not the budget is technically correct, whether it balances, whether it meets budget policy, but again from a technical side rather than a policy substantive issue perspective. We recommend budget options to the governor, and he may or may not choose to pursue those. We prepare the governor's recommended budget document, and that is the doorstop, as we like to call it, that comes out on December 1st by law. We present the governor's budget to the legislature, and that's where you will be actually seeing us performing. As Mr. Rocker just noted, we will be going through the budget development, starting with the legislatively adopted budget from the 1999 session, walking through any changes that were made during the interim by the emergency board, also any adjustments that were made because of salary planning or salary negotiations, et cetera. Those have to be approved by the emergency board as well, but sometimes they're of interest more so than some other interim issues. We also will talk about some of the factors that are included in what's called the current service level. Those are things that are changes such as inflation, roll up on salary costs, et cetera, that lead up to the amount of funding that would be needed to maintain the current services that are being provided. We would also include in that discussion any additions or enhancements or reductions because of statewide budget problems or other issues that the governor proposed in his budget. That basically brings you to the governor's recommended budget in a nutshell. And we will go through that in some detail for each agency. In the interim, after a budget is passed by the legislature, we monitor the implementation to make sure that it conforms to legislative intent, and we also monitor budgets to make sure that good management is happening. We review emergency board requests as they come in for the governor and make sure that, for example, if there's a management action that could be taken that would preclude an emergency board visit, that is done before we actually bring it to the emergency board. And we research budget and policy issues for the governor and make recommendations. And that's it in a nutshell. There is one person who you will be seeing for one agency, the Columbia River Gorge Commission. She's not here with us right now. Her name is Colleen Kinney, and she's one of our trainees, as we like to call them. And that's the management program that I believe Teresa McHugh mentioned at an earlier date to try and give people experience with state government. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
That was easy.
Just what do they do in their spare time?
Please continue.
I believe that covers our over.
That's the whole thing.
That's it.
We're going to get out of here.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much.
You need to teach us how to be so efficient.
Yes.
And are you required to have your pen match your outfit?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll then turn back to Ken Rocco to take us through what one of our budgets is actually going to look like in terms of the format that we're going to be looking at this session.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to point out that or add that LFO and budget management do work very closely together, and they are great help to us in our process. we appreciate their assistance. If you open this budget book, this is each agency will provide one of these with you, and they're structured, they're given instructions through the Department of Administrative Services of how to construct these. So all of them will contain similar materials, basically in the same order. The first tab here is for legislative action, and this shows you an example of what all of the legislative actions that occurred since the last from the last session, and then any emergency board items that occurred since then. And on the second page of this, it's page number 7, I believe, if you turn to that page, is the budget report for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries from last session. And this is similar to what one of the products that the subcommittee will do for this in this session. They're very similar looking. It basically summarizes the budget of the agency by fund type. It gives you the total position count for the agency as a whole. Any other directions? In this case, there was $65,000 that was provided for the agency in the emergency fund, and the agency had to come and get that money at a certain point after they met certain conditions. There's always a revenue discussion. There's a summary of what the subcommittee action that the subcommittee took, as well as any kinds of concerns of the subcommittee expressed to the department during the action on the budget, and it's generally dealt with by program area. And in this case, the agency has three programs: geologic investigations, mine land reclamation, and technical support. So it's broken down by each of the major program areas of an agency. The following page then is sort of a summary sheet of all the actions that were taken from the governor's recommended budget, which is the first line of that spreadsheet, down to what the subcommittee recommendation was. And it shows what fund source that was taken, changed, and out of what program it was, the change was made.
I'm wondering if the lightness of the copying is some kind of energy conservation.
I'm not sure. If you flip through a few pages, you'll see emergency board actions that were taken, and those are also displayed in this section of the budget. Usually the minutes of the action are included. I just noticed in this case the agency has included their recommendation and the LFO and budget management analysis of that recommendation rather than the minutes. And usually the minutes reflect the official action that was taken, so I think in most cases you'll see the minutes here rather than the analysis. The next tab, agency summary, just gives an overview. A lot of these things will be replicated when the agency presents its presentation outline, or they'll either refer to the pages in this document, or they'll have separate sheets to show you these kinds of pieces of information. But basically, there's a summary that just goes a very high level over the agency. It talks about their mission statement. There's going to be some information on performance measures, other kinds of factors that affect the agency's budget. If you flip down to about page, performance measures in this case are on page 44. We start on page 44 of the budget. If you go to page 50 and 51, this is the crosswalk of getting from the legislatively adopted budget to the governor's recommended budget that Ms. Pearson was talking about. And budget management will go over this with you in more detail when they make a presentation. And you'll notice on the first two pages, it's agency-wide summary, and then you can get more detail by flipping it, and you can get each one of their program detail at the program level in the subsequent pages of this. And many of these changes are sort of automatic type changes that are made in the budgeting system, and others, you'll see these essential packages. Most of these are how you get from the base budget to the current service level budget. And that current service level is what it would take to maintain the current amount of services under existing law. After you get current service level, you'll see the next line, the next summary line would be the governor's recommended budget total. And that would include any kinds of policy packages or other kinds of enhancements or changes to the budget that the governor has recommended. Following that, there is a required inclusion of reduction options for general fund and lottery funds that are to equal 10% of the agency's budget. And in this case, you can, starting on page 59, you can see where the agency has identified those reduction options. Some of those, in this government's budget, some of those reductions were taken by the governor in certain cases, and in other cases they were just included here as an option that for policymakers to look at, but they're not necessarily the agency isn't saying we want you to take these. They're saying we had to identify reductions, and these are where we would identify those if they had to be taken. And then finally, there would be an organizational chart showing how the agency is structured. The next tab is a revenue section, which details where the agency receives its revenues from. In the case of geology, this is a very small section because we don't have a multitude of revenue sources. In some agencies, for example, Department of Environmental Quality, this will be a very lengthy section with a lot of detail on all the various fees and federal sources of revenue where those resources are used within the agency.
It should be noted, too, and I think that everyone is very well aware that a large number of the agencies that we'll be dealing with have a lot of fee issues in this session.
And then following that, under program units, in this case, the agency has lumped them all together. And other agencies, they will break them out individually so that you'll have a tab for each of the different units. In this case, as I mentioned earlier, the agency has three program units, geologic services or investigations, mine land reclamation, and technical support and administration. And each one of those will have several pages describing their budget and any kinds of enhancement packages or reductions that were made. So this is where you would get the detail down to the program level. Under special reports, there's generally included in here is a information systems report of some nature, an affirmative action report, and a training report. And those are always provided in the budget document itself. The last pages of the document, which are these striped pages, this is the automated budget information system detail on the agency's budget. And this is organized with the agency summary first, and then individual programs after that. Within each of those, it's organized by revenues. If you look through this, you can see it'll have a revenue section. Then there'll be a section on base budget to show you what the base budget is. Then those packages that get you to the current service level are listed in detail. Following that, you'll have a listing of all the program option packages that an agency may have to get to the governor's budget. And this is where legislative fiscal staff and budget management staff spend most of their time, are in these pages, looking at details of the agency's budget.
Questions, comments?
Madam Chair, in my experience, this has been a very frugal agency, using the resources very wisely. And any help I think we've given with their budget, I would consider appropriate.
Thank you.
And finally, I would just like to show you this display. It looks like this. This is what, when Legislative Fiscal comes in with their recommendations on the budget, we're going to provide you with a memo that will walk you through changes that are described in this particular printout that we're going to use. This will have, similar to the Avis printout that I showed you, the striped one, this will have a summary of what the recommended budget would look like compared to history and to the governor's recommended budget. That would be by fund type at a total level. Following that, we'll have an agency budget summary sheets that really represent the cumulative total of all the program areas that the agency has. And in this case, we would sum up all the changes in the three program areas to show you what effect that would have in each one of these budget categories. So in this particular one, if you'd flip to the fifth page of this, I've included a draft of the geologic investigations program area just to show you what it would look like. And this is very similar to the crosswalk that we showed you earlier. It'll also walk you right through that crosswalk and how you get to the base budget, how you get to the current service level budget, and then we will also provide any information on packages and recommended changes to those packages that will sum up. We're doing it this way in this session, which is the first time we're using this, primarily because of the new budget system that the state is developing called Orbis, and there was a presentation on that yesterday to the full way through.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Any questions or comments on this portion of the presentation? I think this brings us to the bottom of our agenda. In closing, one of the things that I remember from serving under Senator Ferriero's chairmanship in the last session is that we end up with a lifetime supply of three-ring binders by the time the process is over. And there is a recycling loop for these, too. I would encourage members, as we work our way through these agency budgets, to take advantage of the expertise that's available from the staff that we have working with us and from the different agencies that will be coming in and from the fiscal folks. They are very well aware of the fact that most of us are new to this process or are not very experienced and are very willing to work with us. If you have questions that you're going to be asking in a session and we could get them to those people ahead of time, it would facilitate the information flow too. With that, I am going to adjourn the subcommittee meeting and just make everyone aware that our next meeting will be Monday at 1 o'clock here.
Excellent.